The time is now. The time is now. I've started a series dealing with the light, and that's why we have, you know, on the screens, it says, let it shine, let your light shine. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you've been called to shine. Amen. The title of this morning's message is, the time is now to be alert. The time is now to be alert. And through many passages of Scripture here this morning, you're going to find out how people were just going on day to the next day to the next day, just living life as usual. And sometimes as Christians, we can find ourselves falling into that trap of just living day by day like the world does, with no purpose, no drive within our life. But here this day, I want to continue to speak about the light. I'm going to use three verses of last Sunday's service kind of just to get you up to par, and then I'll get into this morning's message. But I wrote three verses on the top of my Sunday morning message here, and the first one is John 1:5. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures that I will be speaking on will be on the overhead screens. Amen. And the Bible reads in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it. See, when we don't understand something, that simply means that we haven't conquered whatever it is that we don't understand. Amen. Another translation, amen, besides that, is what was the translation I used of last week? Overcome. Another translation says that the darkness has not overcome the light. Give it a little, go back to that first verse that I had up there until I give the second one, then you can switch over. The Bible clearly says the light shines in darkness. So we're learning that light shines in darkness. Amen? It says, but the darkness has not understood it. Another translation says, but the darkness has not overcome the light. So here within this verse, we come to find out that the light is stronger than the darkness. Amen? Scripture is telling us that the light is stronger than the darkness when it's shining. When the light is on, it will always overcome darkness. So here we come to find out that the light is stronger than darkness. Amen. A second scripture I want to hit is found in Matthew 5:14. The first verse says that the light is stronger than darkness. The second verse I shared on Sunday says, you are the light. The first verse says that the darkness cannot overcome the light. All right. What light are we talking about? Amen. The second verse I want to touch on says that you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So here this day, we've come to find out with the first verse that the light is stronger than the darkness. We come to find out through this verse that we are that light that tells us no matter what darkness you might be facing today, no matter what you might be going through today, Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. Jesus is telling us here this day that whatever we're going through, the light, whatever we're going through is stronger what darkness has to give. Whatever the enemy that works in darkness is trying to accomplish in and through your life right now is weaker than the light. And the Bible calls us the light of the world. So here this day, we need to know that we got the victory over darkness. For that, we need to give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. This is what Jesus says about us, that we're the light of the world. Jesus also says that darkness has not overcome the light. In other words, Jesus calls us children of the light that have He has called us to overcome darkness. No matter what the enemy is trying to do right now, has already been overcome, has already been defeated through the blood of Jesus that took place at the cross of Calvary. And I know that at times it gets hard to believe that we are more powerful than the darkness. Amen? There's times that we face things that we say, there ain't no way out of this one. That's it. I've really messed up this time. But then again, our true identity in Jesus, when we put ourselves in the house of God, in position, and then we hear in our darkness that Jesus calls us the light of the world. And then we find that the darkness has not overcome the light, and all of a sudden a fresh sense of hope and faith once again comes our way and says, you can do it. You've been called to do it. You've been called to victory. We are sons and daughters of Jesus. And no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much we mess up, nevertheless, Jesus still looks at us as the light of the world. He still looks at his sons and daughters as the light of the world. And he says, don't worry, I got this. We got to remember who we are in the midst of our trials. We are the light of the world. Third verse says, 1 John chapter 1. That's why some people are receiving help right now that you would never think would ever receive help. That you would never think would amount to anybody or anything that is good. But the truth is, our true identity is the light of the world. We're light. We're not darkness. Jesus calls us the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 5, going through 7, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Verse 7 goes on to say, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Purifies us from all sin. I'm going to look that one up. First John 1:5. Amen. So here we come to find out in verse 5 that God is light. We've come to find out that we are the light of the world, but now we come to find out that God is light. But in God there is no darkness. How many still got a little bit of darkness lodged up in you somewhere, amen? But the Bible says that God is light, and in him is no darkness. We're talking power. We're talking holiness. The Bible says that if we claim to have fellowship when yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. It's using that word, walk. If we claim to have fellowship and yet walk in darkness, we might be coming to church, we might be saying we're doing this and this, but if our feet is still going to the hood and to the old hangout areas, something's wrong. Because when God enters a man's life or a woman's life, amen, changes start taking place within that individual's life. I want to skip to verse 7 because verse 7 says, I don't want to give credit to the enemy here this day. I want to talk about walking in the light. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, in other words, what we're learning this morning, if we apply it, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, the Bible says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, it's until we start applying God's word and we start walking in the life, then Jesus moves on our behalf. He starts to purify us. He starts to remove the sin from our lives. As we start to apply his word, he starts to remove and purify the sin from our lives. In other words, he starts to remove the darkness so that we may fulfill our identity as being, amen, the light. We are the light of the world. And I want to let you know, whatever you learned this morning, if you apply it to your life, if you start walking in the light, if you start walking it, not just knowing it, just not saying good message, Pastor Charlie, but if you start applying, it's only until you apply it, only until you start walking it, where Jesus steps in through his precious blood and starts to purify and remove the sin from your life. He starts to do what you can't do for yourself. So here this beautiful Sunday morning, I just want to address us, amen, as the light of the world, that we have victory over darkness. I don't care what you're going through this morning. Tell your neighbor, the Bible says you got victory. The Bible says what you're going through cannot overcome you. As we get to this Sunday's message, we need to start applying God's word. Could you imagine if all the churches in Milwaukee applied the word of the Lord? If all the churches in Milwaukee were walking in the light, in the truth? See, I really believe in my heart, and still, until we do our part, Jesus said, hey, I want to clear that mess up that you've been trying to work out for 20, 30 years. I want to handle my business. In your house, in your marriage, in your children. But until you start walking in the light, until you start walking in my truth, I can't help you. You might know about me. You might attend Victory Outreach Milwaukee. But until you start walking it, I can't do nothing for you. And we know that his grace and mercy is there, and he can do whatever he wants to. But I've been around for 20 plus years now, and I've seen when a man applies God's word and what can take place in and through his life. Matthew chapter 25. I'm speaking on a parable just a little bit. Just Matthew 25. I want to encourage you here this morning that you are the light. And whatever you're going through, the enemy might be using it to think that you're through, that you've been defeated. But the word of God says, not so, not so. We don't get down like that, amen? The word of God says that the darkness has not overcome the light because it's not capable of overcoming the light. And that's why it's so important that we apply the light that God has placed within our lives, amen? The parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1 and 2 says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Father, we thank you and love you for this beautiful day. I ask that you just move me to the side, Lord, and that your word go forth, that your light go forth, Lord, and illuminate areas and the lives of the men and the women and the youth that are present here this day, Lord. Make that difference, Lord. Show them where they're missing it. Show them in what you have placed within their lives, Lord, that they may be victorious, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say, amen. have a question here this morning. How many have ever run out of gas? Amen? Have ever run out of gas in your car? Now, I'll be honest. I used to run out of gas all the time. BC, before Jesus came into my life. Amen? As God honest truth, I used to go score, and I used to put 13 cents of gas in my pickup, and I would floor it and go up there, and I would turn the key off and slap it into neutral and coast all the way over there. 13 cents of gas. How many of you have ever run out of gas in your car? Back in the days, it was more common because, you know, it had a gauge there, and most gauges weren't accurate. But now, you know, years back, now the dummy light comes on, amen, saying, hey, pull over, you need to put gas in your car. How many have ever run out of gas with the dummy light on? Amen? Nowadays, they even got cars that got the dummy light and tell you how many miles, exact miles you got left until you got to go to the gas station. How many have you run out with even the exact miles it tells you? Put gas, it's going to run out. You have no excuse to run out of a gas with the technology that cars have today, and the gauges tells you exactly how many miles left you got. But still, people are running out of gas. We think we don't need it yet, I put here. We think we're still okay. We can go a little bit further. We think we still have time to give our life to Jesus. When we're not certain and we don't know the time of His return, we keep thinking we have all the time in the world. We need to know that the coming of the Lord is soon. It's getting bad. Usually the cops were the snipe shooters. Now they're snipe shooters taking cops out. It's getting really bad. It's going to continue to get worse. The time is drawing near for the return of the Lord, and we need to be alert. We need to know that men and women and youth that are dying on the streets is real. It's not just on the news. It's real. The time is now to be alert unto the instructions of the Lord. The time is now to be the light of the world. The time is now to be the light to this darkened city of Milwaukee. God is counting on you and I to be the light and to stand out in darkness to save those that are lost and bound. Time is now. People are dying. We think we still got more time to work with. The light's on. Jesus is saying He needs us. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people that have been there, done that, and know the strategy and the way the enemy works. Matthew 24:7-44 reads, We need to know that the time is short. Time is short. Matthew 24 and verse 7. Is that the right one? Man, I could have put the wrong verse there. Jamie, where's the one real quick? Oh, it's it's not in Matthew 22. The one where they'll be eating, drinking, and getting married. I put the wrong one. 24:7. Where everybody will be eating, drinking, and getting married. It's verse 38, 39, 40, 42. Is that chapter 25? I'm just, But it's up chapter 25. I got 24 here on my notes, right? Okay, that's the only, I put 24, it's 25. How about on the screens? What do you have on the screens? You had 24? It's 25. 24:38. Where in the heck did 7:44, where did you come out of? It's okay, I got the light up here. The enemy ain't going to have this one, I'll tell you right now. It's not 38. Where are you getting 38 from? It's up 24. 24:38. I got it. It's right here. Right? I'm on the page and everything. 24:30. But where's that 7:44 am I getting? That's for the 7:44. That's for chapter 25. Just know that, Frankie, okay? We need to know that the coming of the Lord is soon. Amen? And Matthew 24... Amen. Verse 38. The Bible reads, "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it would be at the coming of the Son of Man. It was just another day. I believe that day the skies were blue, everything was good until the flood came. It took them all away, minus Noah and his family, amen? It was just another day like today." Verse 37 says, "And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." No warning to the one that was not alert. No one knew it was coming. He just didn't know when it was coming. But he was preparing for it. He was being obedient. But all the other ones were not alert to the warnings that a flood was going to come. It was just another day. In verse 40 to 42, it gives another example. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. 42 goes on to say, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Once again, two men will be in the field, and I believe they were working. I believe between the lines, if they were working in the field, I believe once again the skies were blue. Everything was good. Two men went to work, and they were in the field. One was taken, and one was left behind. It was just another normal day like today. The Bible goes on to say two women will be grinding with a handmill. I believe two other women were at work. One was taken, the Bible says, and one was left behind. It speaks to all of us. It speaks about the men that were at work, the women were at work. It tells me too many people are just all worried about going to work. It tells me that going to work does not guarantee getting into heaven. We got to do more than go to work and pay the bills. We have a responsibility and a calling to be the light of the world, the light of Milwaukee. We got to have more than just a job to get into heaven. And too many times we get all consumed just with work, and we can't see no past work. These people were working. One was taken, one was left behind. Then the two women were working. One was taken and one was left behind. It's speaking about two types of believers here this morning. Working don't guarantee getting into heaven. Verse 42 says there, for keep watch. Keep watch. I put here, we may not know what time the Lord is coming back, but how many know that the times are showing us that the return of the Lord is near? There should be a stirring within your lives right now as I'm speaking. There should be an urgency, not only for your life, an urgency of being right before the Lord. There should be a stirring within your heart, but there should also be a stirring in your heart for others. Because the Bible clearly says that one was taken and the other one was left behind. Verse 43 and 44 goes on to read. It's making these comparisons here. In 43 to 44, it says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Amen. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. If you knew your house was going to get robbed at 11:30, it's 11:25 right now, would you stay for the rest of the message, or would you take off knowing that your house is being robbed right now? See, robbers, usually thieves, usually come in when it's not expected. Amen? Here the Bible says that if this owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. Burglary represents loss of possessions, I put, loss of family members. The Bible in John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. How many know that the enemy did not only attack when we were lost and bound, but he also attacks when we're saved? The enemy also attacks when we're saved. And the attacks of the enemy is to get us to focus on what he's doing, to not allow us to be alert to what God is doing. We cannot allow the works of the enemy to take our focus. Because how many know when something bad is going on in your life, all you can do is think about it night and day, and it can drive you crazy. Just like when that girl left you that you loved with all your heart, and you promised you would never leave her, and promised, pinky promise, all this, and you did everything to prove your love. But then she left you. And you heard it, and night and day, there was a time that night and day, all you could do was think about her, because she was driving you crazy in a good way. You were with her forever. But then she got up and left for your best friend one day. You're still thinking about her, but you're thinking how to kill her. How to get with her best friend. And there's times that we can be going through issues and problems, and all we can do is think about it 24/7. And what we're doing, we're allowing the enemy to lead us through our thoughts. When the Bible says we are the light, and the darkness has not overcome the light, we are in control of our lives and our decisions that we make. But too many times we get so caught up in what we're going through that we get so consumed by it. If you're not careful, you'll be getting led of the enemy day after day after day, and he will always lead you to darkness. I've had enough of being so concerned with people's lives that don't want to get it right, that are not walking in the light. I get so concerned that I become led of the enemy because I want to help. We need to know this day that we're accountable for our actions. And when those hard times come, we need to know how to go to the light. You know how you go to the light? The Word was God, and God was the Word. Amen. The Word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, right? When you open the Bible, the light comes. But the last thing we want to do is open the Bible or go to church. How dumb. I got issues right now I got to take care of. And we go to darkness for the solution because we know how to do the darkness thing with our eyes closed. But we need to go to the light because we have learned that the light has overcome darkness. We need to go to Jesus. We need to pray in those times. We need to open our Word. We need to come to church. That's the way we can counter the work of the enemy, by coming to the light to be the light. But too many times we get caught up in the work of the enemy. We follow him all, and he's leading us all over the place. And we forget about the light, that darkness has not overcome. We forget that we are the light. But now we're being led of the enemy. We're being led by darkness, when darkness has been overcome by the way of the cross through the precious blood of Jesus. Firemen, I put here. Firemen are trained to fight fires. We're trained to make fire, amen? Firemen are trained to fight fires. And even though they don't know when the next fire will come, they're always alert and ready for the fire. Even though they do not know when the fire will come, they are alert and ready. You see, in the movies of fire, they slide down the pole and they're in that truck and they're gone. They're firemen. Even though they've been equipped to fight fires, they don't know when the fire's going to come, so they need to be alert. They need to be ready. And even though we don't know the coming of the Lord, we need to be alert and we need to be ready, so when he comes, it's not going to be a surprise. It's going to be a glorious day. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. We don't have to know the day of the Lord's coming. We just need to be alert. We need to be the light. We need to be upon our Father's business. The firemen are even ready when they're asleep. They lay out all of their clothes, the hammers, the helmets, the jackets, all that stuff's laid out. If they're asleep and they get the call, boom, they got everything lined up like I do before I go to sleep at night. I study late night, and I got my socks, my boxers, my shirt, and I go into the shower. And then when I come out, I got my tie, my shirt's already ironed the night before. I'm ready to go. When morning comes, I don't have to go all over the house looking for a shirt to iron. I don't ask my wife to iron my clothes. I know where to get my socks. I know where to get my boxers. I know where to get everything. I'm ready to go, lock and loaded. Because I know I can get a phone call in the middle of the night of a crisis that's taken place, and I need to be alert, and I need to be ready. When darkness strikes, I need to be ready when God is calling my life. I need to be alert and ready because I am the light of the world, because you are the light of the world. We need to be a people, a Christian, that are alert and ready. But too many times we go day after day like it's just another day, and we're on the defense waiting for the enemy to attack. And after the enemy attacks, then we go do something about it. We need to be on the offense. We too need to be those firemen that create fire, that are dressed in the full armor of God, ready to fight the good fight, run the good race. Are you ready? Are you alert? Would you be going to heaven today if the Lord comes in the middle of one of my sentences? Would you be one being left behind or taken from by the Lord? Are you ready? Are you being alert? There's people dying right now. The skies are blue. It's sunny back outside again. Does that mean we can relax and be at ease? Does that make the enemy go to sleep? No. Matthew 25, verse 1. I'm going to read about the parable of the 10 virgins. We're the light. If darkness has not overcome the light, that means the light should be in offense. That means we should be attacking. That means we got the warfare and the armor that brings victory. That means we got what it takes to have victory. So if we're going to have victory, why don't we attack first? Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Let's read. 1 through 13. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Coming of the Lord, amen. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom." This is the coming of the Lord. Amen. "Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us of your oil. Our lamps are going out." The truth was, they didn't have no oil. Amen. They didn't have no oil. The Bible, it tells us there, it tells us in the verse 3 says, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. And here in verse 8, it says, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." They lied. They were making it sound good. Amen? Verse 9 says, "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, let's go to the, give me the King James on that. It says, "Lord, Lord," on the King James. You got it? If you don't, it's okay. Okay, here's the King James verses. "After they came also the other virgins saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" Get back to 25, verse 11. "Later the others also came. 'Lord, Lord,' they said, 'open the door for us.'" Verse 12 says, "But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Here, the Bible clearly tells us in verse 1 that there was 10 virgins, amen? And all 10 of them had a lamp. Back in that day, the lamp really represented like a big torch. It was something they would put oil on, a big rag, and it was like a big torch. It wasn't like a lamp of today or a candle of today, amen? The old-fashioned lanterns with the glass cover. No, these were torches. There were big torches that would light. When you break down the word lamp there, it gives you the word torch there in the Greek. It's a torch. All of them had their torches, amen. Verse 2 says five were foolish and five were wise. Verse 3 says the foolish took no oil. Verse 4 says the wise took oil. And here is where, go to King James again, verse 11. The five foolish virgins called out, "Lord, Lord," in this translation here. Represents to me the right word, represents religion. Let's go to Matthew 7:21 about what he has to say about Lord, Lord. Matthew 7:21. The Bible tells us not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he, listen up, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who enters heaven? Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Amen? I believe these 10 virgins all looked alike. But there was a difference between the two groups. Five believed and five didn't. Five believed and five didn't. Five made it into heaven and five didn't. They all had lamps. All 10 had 10 lamps and the opportunity to obtain oil. Matthew 25:4 says that the wise ones took oil. Verse 9, they even told them to go buy some. So they all had the opportunity, amen, to have a lamp, which they did. And they all had the opportunity also to have oil. But obviously, five thought they had more time. That wasn't really that important. The lamps here, the torch is here, and the way I discern it is you and I. We are the torch. We are the lamp of the Lord. We are the light of the world. The oil to me here represents the fire, the anointing that brings light, that brings fire in somebody's life. Without the anointing, there's no fire. Without the anointing, there's no light. Without the anointing, darkness will rule your life. As I think about fire, I think about when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Remember, God was light and in him was no darkness. I think of Moses, I think of God from a burning bush. You see, when fire is taking place, fire in the anointing speaks. The burning bush here, which was God, that was not consumed, took God's attention of the life of Moses that was on the run. He had killed a man in Egypt. He was in the desert. It was just another day. But then he seen the bush that was on fire, that would not be consumed. You see, the light of God cannot be consumed. God has conquered darkness through his precious Son, Jesus, through the precious blood. We got victory this day. See, the fire, the bush, God spoke. When you're on fire, God will speak through your life. God will use you to be the light. God will use you to get an attention of a gang member, of a drug addict, of a prostitute, of a businessman. When you're on fire for God, and you not only are the light of the world, but you got the oil, and you got the anointing, and you got the fire, you're going to get the attention of people's lives that are in darkness. Is your life anointed? Do you have oil today? Because we have an identity of being the light of the world. But here within this torch, it was not just a torch that was needed. Oil was needed to create the fire, to create the light. Oil was needed. Oil was needed to be purchased. It's sometimes kind of hard to purchase some oil when you can't pay your tithes, when you think tithing is not important. It's important. The oil will cost you everything. You want to be an anointed man of God? It's going to cost you your life. You want to be an anointed woman of God? You want fire from your life? It's going to cost you your life. Many want the power of God. Many want the anointing of God. But you don't have to, you don't want to walk through hell to get it. It takes obedience, consistency, to be on fire for God. 1 year, 2 years, 5, 10, 15, I got 20. God is the light of the world. He's a light that has no darkness in. I have tapped in to the light of the world. And each and every one of us have the opportunity to obtain oil, to obtain the anointing of Jesus upon your life, for you not only to be the lamp, but a lamp that burns with fire, to be a torch in this darkened time that we live. I ask you a question. Are you a torch in the hands of God today? Have you been alert lately? We've been called to stand out. We've been called to make a difference. We've been called to get up in people's business. We've been called to walk in houses with torches lit and testifying what God is able to do in a man's life, how he's able to change anybody's life. We've been called to go up in people's houses with torches lit, with the anointing of God upon our lives. We've been called to catch Milwaukee on fire. But too many ain't got the anointing, ain't got the oil. You know your purpose. You've learned your identity today, that you are the light of the world. But it takes oil for that lamp to work, for that torch to burn, to allow those that are lost and bound to notice that God has done something in your life, that God is doing something in your life, that you're no longer the same man, that you're no longer the same woman. Amen. That's the fire of God that can testify not only in the good times, but that can continue to testify even in the hard times. Your fire continues to burn even the more. Because darkness has not overcome the light. Too many times we give up under pressure. We give up under the trial and tribulation. When the Word of God says, in this world you will have trial and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Everything you're facing has already been overcome through the cross. You just got to learn how to stand and take your stand and post up and stay there no matter how much it hurts. You got to know that you're the light of the world. You got to know that darkness has not overcome you. Your mind has overcome you. Oh, we see a man in the making or a woman in the making. I see them give us, oh, come on. Come on. We were doing this. We were doing this. I don't see no blood. You're still breathing. Your heart's still working. But your mind has been hit with darkness. That I can't do this. Here within this parable, in verses 7 and 9, these five wise verses, they were no joke. They were straight up. In verse 7, they said, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. They never had oil. That was a Dauphine talk right there, amen? Verse 9 says, no, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. Sounds like the wise virgins were selfish. But they knew it was better to have five torches on fire for the length of time needed, I put here, than to have 10 torches lit, but not long enough. So go get your own, man. Go get your own. I know what I need. I know the anointing that I need within my life. Here within this parable, the five wise virgins are saved, but the five foolish virgins were not saved. The five wise virgins I put here knew that their oil, their salvation, amen, couldn't get the other five foolish virgins into heaven. They knew they couldn't get the other five virgins into heaven. This is spiritually coming with the coming of the Lord, the end time message, amen. The lost will not enter heaven based on mom and dad's salvation. Your sons and daughters, just because you've been saved for 20, 30 years, don't mean your son and daughter are going to get into heaven. They're going to have to get their anointing, their oil on their own. We're all held accountable. Each person is accountable for his or her own decision. Ezekiel 18:20 reads, Ezekiel 18:20. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. Ain't nobody can get you to heaven. I can feed you. I can give you instruction. But you're eventually going to have a relationship, intimate relationship with the Lord. You eventually are going to have to make the right moves in walking in the light in order for Jesus to start moving in your behalf to anoint your life. Why would the Lord anoint somebody that comes to church that's still walking in darkness? They might have the right words. They may seem anointed. They may seem well-versed in the Bible, but there's no anointing. There's no fire. There's no light. Each and every one of us here, the good news is that we're the light of the world. The good news is that this morning we're going to make an altar call, and you can say, Lord, I know I am your lamp. I know I am your torch, and I know I've been called to be on fire for you. When I was in the world, I was in fire for the devil. I mean on fire. Ask me how on fire I was. I was so on fire that my mom and dad didn't kick me out of the house. I ran away from the house. Figure that one out. My dad went looking for me. I was 14, 15 years old in the clubs with my brother's oldest friend, party, drinking, smoking, and being with women. I ran away from the house. I didn't get kicked out. I had it going on. And then my dad would come to the clubs. I said, oh, man. He goes, hey, man, here comes your dad. I said, oh, dad, what are you doing here, man? What are you doing here, dad? You just killed my high, man. I got to start all over again. My dad would come to the clubs, man, and say, come on, son, I'm taking you home. I said, I don't want to go home. I'm having fun. Then he kept asking me to go home, so I went home. He shouldn't have done that. He just let me keep going the wrong way. Because I went home and I was the last one to leave home up to about 25, 26 years. I was still at home. Then at the end, they eventually kicked me out. Said, you got to go. But I thought you were looking for me. You wanted me back home. What do you mean I got to go? The best thing my mom and dad did for me was kick me out of the house. It's a good time to be a believer in darkened times. You want to stand out for Jesus? Man, it's dark out there right now. Even though it's about 12 o'clock, it's dark out there right now. The enemy's at full war right now. It's nice and dark for us to go and to make a difference and to shine like the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be. The good news is that Jesus wants to anoint your life. He wants to put oil in your life, anointing and power in your life that only He can do. That only He can do. You can't go buy the anointing at some college course. Amen? You got to earn it with a relationship with the Lord. It's a good time to be on fire. It's a good time to get lit up in Jesus. It's a good time to go and win the lost and the bound unto Jesus. It's nice and dark out there. But are you shining? Are you standing apart? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing to become anointed and empowered from on high, from God? As the worship team, please, makes their way. When I was in the world, I couldn't go slow. I was all over the place, all the time. I could not. I just got worse and worse and worse. Jesus, I can't go slow. I ain't got a slow gear on the shift stick. It's just low driving. Let's do this. Don't you hate when you're driving and somebody's on the fast lane going slow? Don't you hate that? Just get out of the way. Can you just get out of my way? I got somewhere to go. And I believe God is behind some of you getting saying, come on, is that all you got? Get out of my way. I got to do something right now in the city of Milwaukee. Just hate us. To do. It's a good work. It's a holy work. It's something good. It's something good. We might have got off to a bad start in life, but the grace and mercy and the love of Jesus for us, the agape, unending, unconditional love of Jesus for our lives, still wants to use us, still wants to empower us, to anoint us with oil so that we can be that torch that says, I burn for Jesus. I'm in fire because Jesus has changed my life. Who do you know off the top of your head that really, really needs Jesus right now? That really needs Jesus. That ain't no AA program going to cut it. Ain't no methadone going to cut it. You know that the only thing that can change that person is Jesus. We all know somebody that the only thing that is going to change them is Jesus. Jesus is looking for a people that can offer Jesus. In the good times and in the hard times, Jesus is looking for man today that knows His word, that knows how to catch on fire and stay on fire. Because darkness has not overcome the light, and we are the light of the world. You might have thought that you were about something in the world, but your thoughts should really be that you're really about something in Jesus. You're only really about, were you really about something when you were in the world that amounted to anything that was good? See, that thinking really ties in with, we're really about something in the hands of the Lord. I prayed this morning. And I said, I know the Lord's going to do something great today. It's a faith that the anointing brings, even when the natural eye sees something different. The anointing says, faith says, it's going to be good today. Because I asked the Lord to anoint my life this morning, to be able to pour forth His word, His love, His grace and His mercy, but still to cut. To cut and challenge men and women and you to do what is right. Not just be the real nice man, but still pulling out the sword. The sword cuts. But it knows where to cut us. It knows how to remove what needs to be removed, so that darkness can be taken out of our lives, where we can shine how God has called us to shine. The Lord told me it was going to be a good day today. He goes, don't go by what you see. Go by what you know right now in your spirit. It's going to be a good day today. So I really didn't care when I walked in. There was going to be a lot of people, a little people, so-so people. God told me this morning when I was all alone by myself with it, it was going to be a good day. That His light was going to shine. That His word was going to go forth. And that there was men and women that were going to take heed and listen to the message. And as the light would hit you, I pray that you would see the areas that need to be removed from your life. Because light exposes. Light lets us know where we're wrong. It exposes. But light also gives light to show you the goodness within your life. And what God has already done in your life and placed in your life, the good work that Jesus has started. The Bible says that He will complete to the day of His coming. There's a good work stirring in your life right now to do what is right. To do what is right. Don't do what is right for me. Do what is right for God. He's the one that started that good work in your life. And it's only right that we be on fire for the Lord. Not just come to church, but be on fire for the Lord. On fire to say, whatever you want, God, I got it. I got you. Whatever, give me the command. Whatever it is, I take it. I do it. That's for the type of men and women and youth that the Lord is looking for. Ameners. Hey, Pastor, whatever you want. What you want me to do? You got it. I got it. I take care of it. Hey, brother, can you go do? Man, I ain't got no time, Pastor. All right. Hey, brother, you can. Okay, I'll catch up with you. Yeah, I love you too, bro. I love you. And there's people out there dying. We ain't got enough time. Sometimes we ain't got enough time to be anointed, to pay the price. As we stand here this morning, I want to make an altar call.